not. So you could look at Hebrews 10:5, but I don't think we got time to go there. Is a body hast thou prepared me, that holy thing in Luke 1:35. That body was procreated by God. It was prepared for him, Hebrews 10:5, okay? So that is true. So what did the eternal word, which is the second member of the triunity of God, who we know now as Jesus Christ, what did he reside in? He resided in a body. He came in a body of flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, Isaiah 7:14, right? So the body isn't Jesus. Jesus is going into that body, right? So that's how we have to understand that holy thing. Okay, so that holy thing is there. It's not disrespect to Jesus. It's a lowercase t. See that in Luke 1:35? That holy thing isn't Jesus until, and we don't want to call him Jesus yet because he wasn't Jesus until after he was named Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, right? So he was the eternal word, right? John 1, he was the eternal word or the word in 1 John 5:7, right? So before he became human flesh, he was eternally with God, as the triune with God, you know? So that's 1 John 5:7. So interesting to note that he came from heaven to go into that human vessel, and then Mary was the mother of that human vessel. She ain't the mother of God, okay? So that's how we see that. So you got other cross references, Isaiah 9:6 and some other ones of that nature. So we did that, and then we have, so Jesus is begotten by procreation, that's incarnation, right? Jesus begotten by sacrifice, that's resurrection, and Jesus begotten by exaltation. So we covered all of those. So look at this in the bigger picture, and we said this already. I've already went through this, and maybe you're here, maybe you weren't. Incarnation, that's procreation. Resurrection, that's sacrifice. Glorification, that's exaltation. So you see how important it is to get the word begotten right when you're reading your Bible. You're going to end up in a mess if you only believe that Jesus was procreated, meaning God created Jesus, meaning he wasn't always with God. He's not God. If Jesus is not God and God the Father created Jesus, you got a huge problem, because that's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. So we've got to get this thing right. Begotten means exaltation in most of the verses concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, okay? All right, so a little bit of that. Now let's do this. As the exalted Son, there was a time, and you know, it's going to maybe rub you the wrong way a little bit if you've never learned these truths, but we're going a little deeper here. So put on your thinking caps, get on those chemical warfare boots, put on that outfit, get on the mask, the gas mask, because we're going in deep. Eternal sonship refutation. Was Jesus Christ always the Son of God in eternity past? The answer, my friend, is no. You're going to say, yes, Jesus always the Son. Jesus the Son of God. He was always the Son of God, eternity past. You got to watch out for that. You got to prove that with Scripture. Now, I understand we all got traditions of belief systems, but can you prove those belief systems by the Bible? That's what's going to be important, okay? And this is why so many people fall out of churches, is because they have a traditional belief and they want to hold to it. They can't prove it. And because they disagree with it, they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. And then I ask you, why are you out of here? Why are you leaving? Well, because I don't agree with what you said. I'm like, well, what did I say? Let me show you the Bible verses. And you know what they say? Well, I don't care what the Bible verses say. I know what I believe. Who taught you that belief? Another sinful person taught you that, and you're holding true to that person, whoever told you that, more than the Word of God. And see, you can't help people if they want to make that decision, okay? So it's so important that we submit to the Word of God, even in things that we're not sure about. We give God the benefit of the doubt in the Word of God instead of our own personal belief systems or the people that we trusted who we can't even prove out of the Bible. Okay, so important, okay? The theory of eternal sonship refuted. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. Has Jesus always been the Son of God? We just said it. No. Is Jesus the eternal Son? No. Is Jesus the everlasting Son? Well, everlasting has a beginning and no end. Remember, I covered that before. Eternal has no beginning and no end. So, wait a minute. We're talking about Jesus who came in a body of flesh. So, I'm going to get a little deeper into this. We're going to get into some verses here, but I want you to just picture this in your mind. If Jesus became, or let's just say, let's just not call him Jesus. Let's be specific and split hairs right now. He's not Jesus yet until he's in a body, right? So that means he's called the Word, John 1:1. So let's just call him the Word before he incarnated in that body of flesh. So think about this. The Word didn't always have a body of flesh, correct? Which means there was a starting point where Jesus had a body of flesh. Now, if we look at the definition of everlasting, everlasting means it has a beginning, but it has no end. Now, let me ask you this. You're sitting here in a church pew. Have you always been saved from eternity past to eternity future? No. That means by trusting Christ, that moment in time when you believe the gospel, that was your starting point to getting this life of that Jesus is going to give you. And which means you have everlasting life. You have a starting point where you got saved, and that life goes on forever. See, that's the definition of everlasting, right? Now, Jesus gives you this. Who at one time incarnated that body of flesh in Hebrews 10:5, right? The body that was prepared for him, right? So there was a starting point there. So watch this. What makes Jesus a son in the fact that he has a father? In what sense did Jesus ever have a father? When he became incarnate in the body of flesh. Now he's the Son of God at that moment of time in the virgin birth. He became the Son of God right there. So now listen, this is how careful you got to be in the Bible for me to say things like this. You got to say, brother, you got to prove all this, man. Man, you're saying a lot of big words, right? This is a big concept here. I mean, you're changing everything what I believe, right? So you got to understand. Every verse where you read about the Son in the Old Testament, future tense prophecy, that's all it is, of when Jesus would become in his first advent in that virgin birth in a body of flesh. Every prophecy, I'll give you one example. That's all we have time for. Proverbs 30, verse 4. So if you want to turn there in your Bible, Proverbs 30, verse 4 says this. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or who descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Now watch. And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? That is literally a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, people will say, well, see, you got the Son right there in the Old Testament. So that means he's always been the eternal Son. No. That's a prophecy of what's going to happen in a future time. Because when did he ascend up into heaven? And when did he descend? Go to Romans 10. You can read all about the ascension and how he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And it is Jesus Christ. So we have right here, Proverbs 30, verse 4. Name any other verse in the Old Testament where you find the word son and it's dealing with Jesus Christ. It's going to be a future time when he comes in his first advent. So we are sound in this doctrine of the refutation. We're refuting the idea that Jesus Christ has always been the Son of God. He hasn't. And I got to flip that the eternal Word has always been the Son of God, right? Because he hasn't had a body of flesh until that moment in that incarnation in Matthew chapter 1, right? All right, so some very powerful ideas, some very powerful thoughts that will challenge our mind and challenge our idea of who Jesus is in his character as a person and his birth. and a lot of neglect in us really studying what the Word of God actually says about who Jesus is as a son. And believe it or not, a lot of people don't know this. So, the theory of eternal sonship, the word son is connected with Jesus, does not refer to his deity, now watch, but to his humanity. As God, Christ had no beginning, was not begotten, was not the firstborn, was not born, and therefore was not a son. But as man, he had a beginning, was begotten, was the firstborn of God, was born, and therefore became the Son of God. If one believes sonship referred to deity, then he would have to believe that this person of deity had a beginning. And now you're in Jehovah Witness territory. And was not always God, and was not always in existence, and therefore was not an eternal and self-existent being. That's a problem. It is plainly stated in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. See that? It's pretty neat. John 1:1-2, Colossians 1:17, Revelation 1:8-18, John 17:5, all prove this truth. He had no beginning as God, and that he was as eternal and self-existent as the Father and the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, as man, it is plainly stated that he had a beginning. Note the following simple statement of Scripture, that as man and as a son, he did have a beginning, proving sonship refers to humanity and not deity. Very interesting. Now, Matthew 1:18-25, look at this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. So where was his name? Where was this deity, the second member of this triunity of God? Where was this Word, who is God? Where was he named when he was in a body of flesh? He was called Jesus. So his name, you have a starting point where he is actually called Jesus right there. For he shall save his people from their sins. This proves that God had a son at the same time Mary did. Starting to click now? So Mary is the mother of the humanity of Christ. God is the father of the, well, I don't say deity of Christ, but also the humanity of Christ. So do you see that? So he became a son in that sense. So let me see where I left off here. People from their sins, and neither had a son before this. Neither of God the Father or Mary had a son before this. This son was Emmanuel, which means God with us. But before the second person of the Godhead came to be with us as man, he could only exist as God. As God, the second person of the Godhead is never called the Son of God. But when he became man by becoming the son of both Mary and God, he is called the Son of God. The only references to his sonship before he became the son of Mary and God were in prophecies foretelling this event. And I discussed that at the beginning before we even got into this. And so you can find references, and if you recording this message here, you can go back and look these up. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, Proverbs 30:4, which we just read, Psalm 2:7, Psalm 2:12, Hebrews 1, and Hebrews 1:5-6, that he was the Son of God and appeared in a fiery furnace as such in Daniel 3 is not stated anywhere. It was the heathen king that said the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Literally like a son of God, as in the margin, in this appearance, the being was an angel, or, you know, and in my opinion, it could be. This is all conjecture. Daniel 3:28, and not the second person of the Godhead who later became man and the son of Mary and God. To this heathen king, any being like an angel would be called a son of God. That could be. I don't know. I've had a different view on that, but this could be. I mean, you can look at it both ways. I don't see a problem with either way. It doesn't violate anything if you look at it either way. Because he believed in many gods and offsprings of gods because of his, you know, being a heathen of who he is, he knew nothing of the true God, much less that he would someday have a son born of a woman. So that is an idea. That is a thought you could entertain. I'd watch out to be dogmatic about these things and hold them as true to objective scripture. But look at this one. Next point. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest. So when is the point of time when he would be called the Son of the Highest? It would be the point of time right there when he was born of the Virgin Mary. Right there. See that? See the timeline. The Holy Ghost shall be come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There it is, Luke 1:31-35. If God or Mary had a son before this, then was it born? That's the question you got to ask. Was it born? Certainly this was the first time Mary had a son, right? For she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus, Matthew 1:25. This was also the first time God had a son. For Mary's child is also called God's firstborn. In the same sense, he was Mary's firstborn. Matthew 1:25, Psalm 89:27, Colossians 1:15, Hebrews 1:5-7. Next point. A lot of refutes for this. If God had a son before this, then Jesus is he's the secondborn son and not the firstborn. And the only begotten Son of God, as in John 1:18, John 3:16, John 3:18, John 3:35-36. And in the passages that I just mentioned, if sonship refers to deity, if you guys understand deity, that just means he's God. If sonship means he's God, then he became God's son twice. Once sometime back in eternity, and again when God had a son by Mary. So you see the problem there. So I'm trying to make it clear in layman's terms so you can understand it. If you're saying that Jesus Christ, I already made this point. If you're saying Jesus is the Son of God, Brother Ed, I don't care what you say. Jesus is the Son of God. I've always known him as the Son of God. I don't care what you say. The Father has always been the Father, and he's the Father of the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you say, Brother Ed. Even in eternity past, then you have to entertain the idea, and you're going to end up in a lot of false doctrine. You're going to have to show me a point in time where he became a son in eternity past. You have to show me where the Father became the Father in eternity past. That is required of you if you want to continue to believe that. So if he was begotten as God's son sometime in an eternity past, and his sonship refers to deity and not to humanity, see the problem? Then who was the mother of this God / son? And when did God have a son by this other mother? Was it a deity mother? Was it some kind of angelic being mother? What was? See, you got to end up in this weird tangent. You got to go on this rabbit trail. It's not even going to be scriptural. You're going to be into some weird doctrine, right? You're going to have to start a church where only you are going to believe that truth, because nobody's going to agree with you, because it's going to be some weird stuff. So if he was, hold on, let me continue on here. I just read that. There is no statement in scripture that Jesus was God's son from all eternity. Now, if you can prove that verse, look, I'm a reasonable person. Carlos is a reasonable person. If you can prove it from scripture that Jesus was God's son from all eternity, and you can show somewhere, New Testament, Old Testament, you can say, brother, look where it says, thus saith the Lord, Jesus is God's son from all eternity. Hey, hands down, I'll believe what you say. I'll submit, because if it's in the Word of God, I'll submit. But you're not going to find that verse. So you see the problem here. So this, we as Bible believers, even though I'm preaching this thing on the exalted son and the refute for eternal sonship, even though we're preaching all this, you need to understand, I'm also trying to teach you, and I know Pastor Carlos teaches a lot of the idea of checking us out with the scriptures, making sure that what I'm saying is coming from the Bible, coming from the Word of God. That if I'm saying something that's not scriptural, that you need it, you can call me out. Just come to me at the end of the meeting, end of the service, and you say, brother, you know, I didn't understand this. And I know Pastor Carlos has open door for anybody that would have a questionable doubt about anything. And he would say, hey, you know, if you got a problem, come talk to me. We'll open up the scriptures. You show me your verses. I'll show you the verses that I have, and we'll reason those things out, and we'll see. We'll look at rightly divided truth, and God's word will solve it if you rightly divide it correctly. So there should be no problem there. So if he were, then there still would have to be a time when he became God's son. And if that took place at a certain time and place, he couldn't have always been God's son. Neither would he have been God, as the Bible declares in Micah 5:2, John 1, 1-2, Hebrews 1:8, and Revelation 1:8. Next point. To solve all these unanswerable questions of speculation, let us believe the simple statements of Scripture that the person we now know as the Son of God and Mary was not always God's Son and Mary's Son. That he was always God and a separate person along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he became man and the son of both God and Mary over 1900 years ago for the purpose of redemption. That it was in God's plan that one of the three persons become man and the son of one who became the Father by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that it did not become a reality until it actually took place in Mary about 1900 years ago. See, we can make everything make sense now if we hold to that truth that Jesus has not always been the Son. Everything makes sense. The Bible puts everything where it needs to be. But if you say it's not, now you got to play a lot of Bible checkers. You got to do gymnastics and stuff. Well, let's avoid that verse because that verse doesn't tell of the agenda that I have. So we got to avoid that verse. Well, why are you avoiding verses? When does the Bible ever say to avoid verses? You got to believe all the Bible, man. You take it all or nothing. It's either all the Word of God or it's not the Word of God at all. So you got to take it as a whole. So there can be no contradictions in the Bible. Do you understand that? There's contradictions a lot of times with our reasoning going to the Bible. But what do? We acknowledge and give God the benefit of the doubt that maybe my reasoning is wrong about how I'm studying my Bible. Maybe I need to give the Bible some time because I'm not that knowledgeable to give the Bible some time for me to learn more. And the more I learn, the more I'm going to understand. And then things are not going to seemingly contradict anymore. What's going to happen? Everything's going to flow. It's all going to have continuity. There's not every verse in the Bible is going to be like, I understand that now. That's not a contradiction. Let me explain it to you. See, now you can do that. So next point, unto you, now this is Luke 2:11-24. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I'm going to skip. When 8 days were accomplished for circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's the point. That's the point. That's the proof text. I don't even need to comment on it. It speaks for itself. See, you see that? So he was called Jesus there. There should be no argument. Next point. The word was, now this is John 1:14. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the word and God, both. And a member of the Godhead from all eternity, but he was not made flesh until God had a son by Mary. Important point. Next point. God gave his only begotten son. Is taken to prove that God must have had a son before he gave him. But this must be understood in connection with other passages. It is certain that the second person of the Godhead had to become a man and the Son of God and Mary before either God or Mary could have a son. So God giving his son must refer to the time of the crucifixion when God gave his son, and the son gave himself to redeem man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next point. This time is stated to be at the crucifixion. Don't get confused, okay? Because I can already feel that there could be some confusion here, okay? Thinking caps. He is begotten concerning Mary. At the same time, he's begotten concerning God in the virgin birth, right? No doubt, no doubt. All that, begotten. Do you see that? So you got all the, see, you got this, these different definitions. It's easy to get confused. So when you say begotten, the question the Bible believer asks is, what do you mean? What do you mean by begotten? Do you mean by his resurrection, where he was begotten from the dead? Do you mean begotten in his virgin birth? Do you mean begotten when he ascended to the right hand of God the Father and became exalted? What do you mean by begotten? So it's very dangerous to take that word begotten out of your Bible. So this time is stated to be at the crucifixion. So now you understand when I say that. So what do you mean about begotten concerning the crucifixion? Now you know, because he rose again and there you got begotten, right? For it was then that the sins of the whole world were atoned for, and all the men were crucified with him, right? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, right? So, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that's God hath made him to be sin for us. Is that us, only a certain elect few, or is that us meaning all humanity? It means all humanity. So he took upon himself all our sins, right? So, the time when God gave his son that men should believe in him to be saved was the time he gave himself to save all men, and not at the time he was born. At the time he was born, he did not save the world, right? And could not have done so. That's why we don't trust in baby Jesus, right? We got a little baby Jesus at Christmas time. I'm probably stepping on some toes here, but I got to say it, man. We ain't trusting in baby. It's Santa Claus isn't hugging baby Jesus, right? Because Santa Claus is a fairy tale. And trusting in baby Jesus, who isn't a baby no more, and you want to just resume or believe that he's a baby right now, just so little baby Jesus isn't going to condemn us. You know, baby Jesus is sweet and innocent. Well, I'd rather trust in the idea of a baby Jesus because it's so great. It's a great idea. Goo goo gaga. I can feel good. I got goosebumps on my spine right now. Now, it's just so great. I can dance around baby Jesus. But no, it's not baby Jesus who we're talking about. Jesus grew up. He became a man. His ministry was 3.5 years and died on that old rugged cross and rose again. And he did that. It wasn't a fairy tale. He actually did that. And then ascended to the right hand of God the Father, sent the Holy Ghost at Pentecost so that all men could be drawn to him. If they choose to. See, the drawing of all men doesn't mean that God's going to make everybody get saved. The drawing of all men is the offer to all men to get saved. That's what the drawing is, so don't get stuck in Calvinism there, okay? So, the birth, next point, the birth of Christ was necessary for God to have a son to give to die for the world later. The purpose of the birth was that he might have a son to give as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. God did not give him to die at the time he was born. So that's the give distinctions between what you mean by begotten concerning the birth versus the resurrection. But he gave him to die when he was a man, and after he had been the Son of God and Mary for over 30 years or 33 years, because God now has a son. His giving of the son can be spoken of even at birth in the same sense that he was called Christ. And we got to get to the next point here. Next point. Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Now that's, I think, see if I can find that verse. Micah 5:1-2, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, Isaiah 11:1-2. Let me see, John. Go to John 7:42. That's the verse I'm looking for. Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? The person who was to be God's son and Christ was to come from God and man. Hence, sonship refers to humanity, not deity. As God, he could not have been born or brought into existence, but as man, he had to be. That's Acts 13:23, Romans 1:3, Romans 8:3, Romans 8:28 to 32, Romans 9:5, Galatians 4:4. I know I'm going fast, guys. You don't have to look these up, but I'm giving those. So if you go back and you watch the broadcast, again, you can write all these verses down. I like to make those verses available to you. So if you want to do your own personal study, say, man, I don't know about this sermon Brother Ed preached. You go back, you get all the verses and study it out yourself. Philippians 1. 8 to 11, Colossians 1:15, Hebrews 2:14 to 18, Hebrews 7:14, Hebrews 10:5 to 14, 1 John 4:1 to 6, and 1 Peter 2:24. Okay, next point. It is stated in both Testaments, Old Testament and New Testament, that there was a certain day that God was to have a son, and a certain day in which he did have a son. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. Now, that's Psalm 2:7, if you want to turn there. Psalm 2:7. Thou art my son. Now, watch this. This, come on, you got to highlight that in your Bible. This day have I begotten thee. What does it say? What day was he begotten? This day, which means he's not the eternal son. You understand that? Eternal Son is a man-made convention. It's a man-made belief system. It sounds great. It sounds great, like God knows everything. We're not going to go down that rabbit trail. But it sounds great. So Psalm 2:7, Acts 13:33, Hebrews 1:5 to 6, Hebrews 5:5 to 10, Hebrews 10:5 to 14, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6 to 7. Okay? Flying through these, look them up later. The words father and son have exactly the same meaning when used of God as when used of men. Now, next point, if sonship refers to deity, then we would have to conclude that there was a certain day when the second person of the Godhead was born, and before this day, he was not in existence. But this is contrary to all statements in Scripture about him. Therefore, we must conclude that sonship refers to humanity, and that before his birthday, Jesus was God, but he was not man or God's son, and that as God, he had no beginning. But as man, he did have a beginning. The prophets foretold how God would become a man by being begotten, but not one ever said that a person would become a God by being begotten. Genesis 3:15, Genesis 49:10, Deuteronomy 18:15-19, Psalm 2:7, Psalm 22:1-22, Psalm 40:7, Psalm 80:17, Psalm 89:19, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, and some more redundant verses I've already given, Micah 5:2-4, Jeremiah 23:5. Okay? Point eight. Remember, we always got to go back to the theme of what are you doing? Why are you giving all these points? We're proving that Jesus was not always the eternal son. That would be incorrect as a Bible believer. Now, you can believe whatever you want. I mean, I can't control your belief. I mean, I can't go to your house and say, oh, there you go again, saying Jesus is the eternal son. I'm like, man, we're not going to do that. I mean, just if you believe the Bible, we want to honor God in truth and in the integrity of our hearts. We need to believe what the scripture says if we're truly saying that we love the Lord. Okay? So there it is. Next point. The truth then is this. There were always three distinct and eternal persons unbegotten of each other from all eternity. That only one of these eternal persons of the deity became a man and the son of another of these eternal beings by the power of the third. And that one took the headship part, another took the mediative part, and the third took the part of direct operation in the plan of creation and redemption of all things. It was in the plan of the Trinity to take these respective parts long before the plan began to be worked out. Next point. It was predicted that one of the eternal beings would become the Father, that one would become the Son, and that the other would take the place of the direct operation to bring it about. The Holy Spirit, right? This is why it was written of a certain day this would be done. That's why we have the wordings, this day I've begotten thee, right? Psalm 2:7, Acts 13:33, and so forth. You have those verses. This plan was not carried out until the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, as in Matthew 1:18 to 25, Luke 1:31 to 35. Paul said in Galatians 4:4 to 5 that God's Son was made of a woman made under the law. According to Hebrews 10:5 to 14, God prepared a body for the second person of the Godhead in which he was to become incarnate. And it was this man that was born of a woman and was called the Son of God. Hence, sonship refers to humanity, not deity. I mean, we're covering this over and over again. I do it because redundancy is the key. Repetition is the key. You need to understand this, all these truths about the sonship of Jesus Christ. As God, the second person of the Trinity, had no beginning and was not begotten. But as a man, he did have a beginning by being begotten of the Father through the Holy Spirit and through the Virgin Mary. There is, therefore, no such doctrine in Scripture as the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ, or that he was God's Son from all eternity. There is no excuse to teach some theory that is not stated in Scripture, even if it is commonly accepted as orthodox teaching. Get ready for this. There are 15 prophetical statements about God having a son in the future, born of a woman. Genesis 3:15, Genesis 12:3, Genesis 26:4, Genesis 28:14, Genesis 49:10, 2 Samuel 7:14, Psalm 69:8, Psalm 89:27, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, Isaiah 11:1, Matthew 1:21, Luke 1:30, 35, 2:35, Luke 2:26. There are also 15 historical statements in the Bible showing that God did have his first and only begotten son born of a woman, and that this took place on a certain day in time and not in eternity past. Ready? Matthew 1:18 to 21, Matthew 2:1 to 6, with cross-reference Old Testament, Micah 5:1 to 2, New Testament, Luke 2:1 to 11, John 1:14, Romans 1:3 to 4, Romans 8:3, Galatians 4:4 to 5, Philippians 2:5 to 11, Colossians 1:15 to 18, Acts 13:33, 1 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 1:5 to 6, Hebrews 2:9 to 18, Hebrews 5:5 and Hebrews 7:14. On the other hand, there is no scripture in the Bible showing that God had a son throughout all eternity, one begotten before all worlds. Doesn't exist. Nor is there a scripture indicating that there never was a time when he did not have a son, and no passage to prove that Christ was the Son of God before he was born of the Virgin as God's only begotten Son. We find nothing in the Bible stating that eternal sonship and eternal generation is true of Jesus Christ. We can prove the preexistence of Jesus Christ as God without claiming he was in sonship all that time. We know that he was always God. He had no beginning as God. He was never born, begotten, and never had a mother as God. He never had a father, God, as deity in ages past, and never became God's son in any sense until, as predicted and fulfilled in the scriptures. Let's pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths of your exalted Son. He became exalted at the resurrection. You exalted his finished cross work, Father. He's the high priest, the exalted high priest. Father, let's focus on the exalted Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't always the exalted Son. He was the eternal Word in time past, Father, but we give him glory. We give him worship as being the exalted Son now. And Father, we're so thankful for these truths of learning, the Word of God in truth and correcting ourselves when we're wrong. Father, we thank you for these Bible truths to help us each and every day. Help us to exalt you each and every day. Help us to love you more. Father, thank you for Brother Carlos. Thank you for the church. Father, pray that you just help them to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help them to be more of effective witnesses for Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for loading us daily with benefits. Father, we don't deserve all that you give us, but we thank you for it. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen.